it's so cool to see somebody who, you know, is in a really bad place, maybe emotionally, and just like the change of their, you know, their being in just, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know, kind of worth of time. It's awesome.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we have the pleasure of meeting a doctor of chiropractic, Jeremy Bullimer. He works for Align Life in Lee Summit, Missouri. Welcome, Jeremy. Thanks for joining me today and discuss your career and what you do as a chiropractor.
So I currently work for Align for Life Chiropractic, and we're actually, I live in Lee Summit, but we're based out of Overland Park, Kansas.
Okay.
So our office is located in downtown Overland Park, right across the street from Mi Ranchito and Homer's Coffee. So yeah,
I know right where that is. We're just not too far south of there okay. where we live. Like going over there for some of those restaurants you guys have over there.
Yep. It's a lot of good stuff location. Yeah.
Can you give us a little detail about your career and what you do at Align Life as a chiropractor?
So what I do there is predominantly, you know, chiropractic care. My skill set, if you would call it that, I specialize in dry needling therapy. So I do a lot of needling therapy. I do a lot of functional rehab, kind of sports med, if you would, type practice. I don't get into a whole lot of that, I guess, now. A lot of my patients from Cerner, it was more of a wellness style practice. So I kind of try to mix a little bit of sports med into, you know, kind of the wellness side of chiropractic care. So,
yeah, I like that a lot, especially for, I mean, it's a big wide range of people that a lot of people, chiropractors see, and yeah. being able to specialize in something like that has definite benefits. What's your, like, a day in the life of or a week in the life of as far as, you know, seeing patients, how long you're with them, what it looks like when they walk in the door for the first time versus, you know, maybe somebody that's coming to you for the 75th time.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So when I first was in practice, I spent probably 30 minutes with each patient. And my first practice experience, I did a lot of soft tissue therapy, a lot of hands-on manual soft tissue therapy. And I did that for, man, probably 3-4 years. And it was great. Got a lot, learned a lot in regards to kind of tissue mobility, tissue response, just patient, like overall patient experience. But it is very... For me, it was very physically draining. I think my first, you know, my first week in practice, I had so much soreness, you know, just in my hands from just doing a lot of that manual, you know, just kind of manual tissue manipulation. And, you know, as I evolved through that type of practice, it took a lot out of me physically. So when I left that practice and went, to another practice before I joined Cerner, I wanted to still continue to do a lot of that, but I didn't want to do as much. So I decreased my treatment times by about 10 minutes. So 20 minutes is about what I spent, with people. Still did that, but did a little bit more kind of rehab based. And then I joined Cerner, and from there, my treatment times were about 20 minutes. And so most of the time I spent, you know, Cerner Healthy Clinic was a multidisciplinary setting. So I had exposure to medical doctors. I had exposure to dietitians. I had exposure to counseling, therapy, the whole nine yards. So I didn't feel like I needed to spend a lot of time doing tissue stuff and really kind of send out patients to other providers that handled some of that stuff. So most of my focus at Cerner was just joint manipulation, traditional chiropractic, you know, kind of adjusting. So, you know, come full circle as far as like what I do now, a little bit of that, and then kind of dive in and I'll sprinkle in some of the dry needling stuff. So the dry needling gives me the ability to do some tissue stuff, but it's not as physically demanding on me. So I can still be just as effective in treatment, but not feel like I'm smoked at the end of the day where I'm just like completely just exhausted and have nothing left to give.
Right.
You know?
And so with that, like you're talking about the hand manipulation stuff with the ART, the active release technique,
it's almost
kind of like a specialized massage therapist, I guess, if people don't know what that is. And so you're in there doing the range of motion with the arm and working through the muscles, trying to get that tight muscle released. And I can see how, you know, spending 30 minutes with a patient for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, you get a full workout in standing and moving their body around and that kind of stuff. That's pretty interesting. I've had ART done before. And so, I mean, from my side, I absolutely loved it personally as the person being treated.
But right.
On your side, I can see how that would take a lot out of you. And kind of wanting to move away from that. So now with your undergraduate, you studied first off at Missouri Western and then at Benedictine, and studied sports management at Benedictine. How did that sports management degree kind of lead you into chiropractic?
It didn't. I'll be honest, it didn't. So sports management degree, initially what I thought I wanted to do was get into the business side of sports, much like yourself. So athletic director, you know, whatever. And so I graduated, I worked as a personal trainer for 2 years. Right. And what kind of got me into chiro was there was a chiropractor that worked out of the gym that I was working at. And, you know, I was kind of in that weird realm of, okay, do I go get my master's PhD in exercise science or do I do something completely different? So like trying to figure out my career path, what I wanted to do. And so he was the one that kind of encouraged me to look at chiropractic. So, you know, from there, it school in Kansas City, applied, accepted, and, you know, here I am type of thing. So,
So then when you went to Cleveland, I mean, having that different degree from a business degree going into a scientific field.
Yes.
I know that other chiropractors have talked about having that degree in biology or having a science background as their undergraduate degree before they came in. What type of classes, I guess, did you have to take to kind of fill that gap of?
Great question. So I had to do, I never took any OChem, organic chemistry, in undergrad. I didn't take any biochemistry. I don't think that was part of my requirements at Benedictine. So those were the two main players. I had taken an A&P course. So that was easily transferable. So I was good there. But yeah, I would say my chemistry, you know what, now that I think about it, I think I had to take physics class. There was a physics that I had to do as well. So once I had those kind of core classes, then I could start my, you know, my curriculum at Cleveland. So there were probably, I think, 2 semesters that I did some undergraduate courses before I actually started, you know, my real coursework at Cleveland.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting to see. And I know that they've changed some of their things around recently in their programs and have some more undergraduate type stuff that people can come in and work through their campus. How did you kind of choose? I mean, you're from Kansas City area originally. How did you kind of choose Cleveland versus some of the other schools that are in the surrounding area?
Yeah, I wish I could say that I was a diligent person and did a lot of research. I didn't. Cleveland was the only school in Kansas City. I lived in Kansas City. I was rooted here. And so it was like, that was the option. I didn't look anywhere else. So like the funny thing about like my story with chiropractic, I had never been to a chiropractor prior to starting school. Like my first chiropractic experience was as a student in chiropractic college. I didn't know anything about the profession. The guy that worked out at the gym was the only chiropractor that I actually knew. And knowing, we're mutual friends with Nick Neneman. I knew him from undergrad, no idea that he was going to go become a chiropractor. Like that was never conversations that we would ever have or ever had until, I saw him at school and recognized him.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, it's here. Go for it.
Okay. I like that a lot. I mean, like some people like Nick's story, growing up, he had visited a chiropractor and the chiropractor helped him along the way. And he knew from there, like, this is what I want to do and this is how I'm going to do it. So having that different background and story of, not really knowing other than the guy at the gym who had talked to you about it and having that business background, I mean, and being involved in sports and seeing, some of that stuff and kind of that sports management kind of falls in place a little bit there.
Sure.
Like you had mentioned a little bit before, working at Cerner and some other locations prior to your new current position, how did you, other than wanting to kind of get away from that manual manipulation of the ART and stuff, how did you kind of go about looking for those different careers with those different companies as far as timing in your life, or was there something that kind of stuck out as an opportunity for you?
Yeah. So I think my first couple of years in practice, I think every chiro goes through the feeling of being super green. And like they teach you in school what the profession is, how to do it, but like living it and doing it, it is, I think there's a real steep learning curve there. I mean, I think I learned not just managing patients, but just, I think that was part of it, the business side of it. So my first couple of years, I was fortunate where the guy that I had worked with taught me a lot about that. Taught me a lot about, but just the environment that we were in. So I've been fortunate that other than my stint between Cerner and the first job, chiropractic job that I had, I have worked in multidisciplinary settings. So I have worked alongside medical doctors. I've worked alongside physical therapists. So my first couple of years, I think, taught me more about how to explain what chiropractic is and how it fits within the medical model and how to collaborate and really work alongside those other professions. So to kind of come full circle to Cerner, I never thought that I wanted to start my own practice. Now, unfortunately, I got laid off from Cerner, so it was kind of forced upon me. I think it's a true testament that things happen for a reason, and I wasn't probably ready to have my own practice or to, kind of start my own practice early on, but now I feel like I am. I feel like, now's the time for me to continue to grow this and see what happens.
And you've been a chiropractor, I think, 13 years, is that correct?
Yeah, man. I graduated in, 2008. So I guess, do the math. So 13 plus years. Gosh, yeah, it seems like forever.
Yeah, it does. And like you said, getting that hands-on experience with all those, with the different types of companies and learning from them, as far as being with Cerner and then going through that layoff, like you said, you know, that was the time in your life that worked out perfectly for you to have that practice and open up over there. So if somebody's thinking about, or, you know, have been to a chiropractor or a family member that's been to the chiropractor and they've heard about what chiropractic is and they think that's something that is interesting to them, why should someone become a chiropractor?
I think that's a good question, because and here's kind of like my thoughts on like the profession. I think there's a lot of gray area between not only chiropractic, but physical therapy and athletic training. I think the space that we're all playing in, there's a lot of overlap there. And so, you know, really, I think when you boil it down, it's musculoskeletal care. The chiropractic profession allows you a lot of autonomy when it comes to treating patients. There's a lot of states that, you know, for you to see a physical therapist, you need a physician referral to see a physical therapist. Chiropractors are considered portal of entry. So you can walk in off the street or schedule an appointment yourself and be immersed in whatever, you know, treatment modality or whatever, you know, that chiropractor you see. Chiropractors are allowed, and we get training in imaging. So we've got the capacity to refer people out for advanced imaging, x-ray, MRI, CT scan. You can get a little deeper as far as like the type of imaging you want to do based on the, you know, the type of practice you do. You know, physical therapists, I don't think they've got the capacity to do that. So, you know, I think from a chiropractic perspective, you know, it's like, why would one choose? I think it's total autonomy. You know, the freedom to do whatever you want in the musculoskeletal space, and kind of go from there if you're passionate about that.
Okay. So what are, you know, opening your own business after being in the industry for 10 plus years, what are some of the things that you have learned these first couple months of things that you needed to do or maybe took advantage of before you opened or are still working on, you know, developing?
You know, I think the first thing that, you know, I thought about was whether or not to accept insurance. I think that's a big piece in healthcare, in not necessarily chiropractic, but just healthcare as a whole is insurance reimbursement. And we chose to not go down that route. And there's a couple of reasons why. I think the first one being insurance dictates a lot of what type of care, quality of care the patient receives. And for me, I want the relationship between me and my patient to be between me and my patient. I don't want a third party who is not affiliated with me or the patient dictate the quality of care that this patient receives. And so we do a cash practice to kind of eliminate that. It's not for everybody. And from a practitioner standpoint, you know, you may fear that you're going to lose a lot of money or lose a lot of patients. And that may be the case, but I think there's a target market for that. I think there's people who are willing to pay for services knowing that they're going to get a better quality or get a better experience. And especially, you know, not to get too much into insurance, but, you know, health savings accounts, you know, there's other tax benefits that, you know, companies provide to their employees that can help you offset, you know, the cost of paying out of pocket, you know, kind of for, you know, for your healthcare. So, yeah.
I like that. You know, and like you said, each practice is a little bit different on how they operate as far as insurance or cash or card, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
How many is it you're just yourself or do you have other chiropractors in your?
It's me and another guy. So my teammate, partner, whatever you want to call him, was one of the chiros that worked with me at Cerner. So we're both in the same boat of getting laid off at the same time. And so we have worked together for the past 7 years. So I'm, you know, very familiar with what he does as a practitioner. You know, we personally know each other. So it was a very, you know, kind of easy transition as far as, you know, working with him.
I bet it's nice to be able to have someone else there with you to bounce questions off about, whether it's business related or chiropractic related.
Absolutely. Help each other,
through that. What is something that you kind of find just personally rewarding about being a chiropractor?
I think seeing people like find benefit off of like things that I do with my hands. You know, chiropractic care is a very hands-on, you know, I have to touch you to treat you. Yeah, you know, not to get off a tangent, but I'm going to get on a tangent. When I was at Cerner during COVID, you know, the clinic was shut down. So we had to find ways to continue to kind of connect with patients. And so I piloted video visits for chiropractic care. Did not work at all. It worked in the aspect of me being able to communicate with people and see people, but from a treatment perspective, like I was very limited in what I could do. And, you know, chiropractic care is founded on, you know, the joint manipulation, the hands-on, the sense, you know, kind of that sense of touch. And, you know, having a patient come to you who is in pain, you know, whether that's, you know, chronic or, you know, acute, you know, level of pain, and being able to, in some cases, instantly get them out of that thing, out of that state by just putting your hands on them is super powerful. It's so cool to see somebody who, you know, is in a really bad place, maybe emotionally, and just like the change of their, you know, their being in just, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know, kind of worth of time. It's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool like you said, it's a hands-on experience. And you know, if you're talking to me right now about chiropractic, well, do you have a tennis ball that you can roll on your, where does it hurt? Like you can't really do the hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
So having that personal relationship with your
client. Absolutely. You know, absolutely. You know, and this also, you know, kind of goes back to, you know, when I was talking about, you know, the cash and the quality of care. I mean, touching somebody is that sense of touch from human to human is so, so powerful. And, you know, I think, you know, talking to people who have seen, you know, like medical providers, and I don't want to dump on, you know, the medical community, but there's a lot of instances where, you know, going and seeing your medical doctor, your doctor doesn't even put hands on you. Not to say that they have to do that. It's not like a requirement or anything to do, but it's, you know, that sense of being heard, that sense of, you know, that they're along the fight with you. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's super, super powerful.
Yeah. So talking about your clients and a little bit about their experience, I mean, as far as somebody that comes in, and there's a lot of reasons why somebody would come in to see a chiropractor.
Yeah, absolutely.
With their whole body. What's a typical patient, I guess, kind of look like as far as who you see currently? And then what's a kind of like the ideal patient that you would love to see just walk in your door?
I think the easy answer to that, I mean, most people are seeking chiropractic care for neck and low back pain. That typically tends to be the low-hanging fruit for, you know, the need to initiate care. Depending on your style of practice, it doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, you can go for, you know, seek chiropractic care for a myriad of issues related, you know, I'll say neuromusculoskeletal and, you know, kind of in nature. But I would say, you know, neck, low back pain, headaches are fairly common, if not exclusive of what people would seek chiropractic care for. You know, ideal patient for me, I think it's somebody who is open to accepting, you know, maybe a different voice in their health journey. You know, I think there's a lot of different avenues one can go on in one's journey for health. You can explore, you know, there's different subspecialties of medicine. There's, you know, dentistry, there's, you know, optometrology, you know. And so my perfect patient, I guess, would be one who is willing to listen to what I have to say, you know, finds benefit in understanding of, you know, how this can help them and how this can make them a better person. You know, and some of that is up to me to be able to communicate clearly to that individual, what I'm trying, you know, what we're trying to get out of, you know, this relationship. So.
And so, like you said, you know, they're on their health. Everybody's on a health journey to try to be as healthy as they can be.
Absolutely.
Live a long, effective, healthy life. And a lot of people might have misconceptions about chiropractors and what they do and what they're able to provide. What are some misconceptions that you've seen through your career or have heard from other people about chiropractic?
I think the biggest one that I've heard is once you go, you have to continue to go. I mean, semantics are, you know, you can talk about that. I mean, some people say they don't believe in chiropractic care, which I always find funny. Like it's, you know, like chiropractic is a religion. Like you can choose, like it's either there or it's not. It's like, it's not something that like, I don't know. I just find that whole concept of believing in it or not, you know, very interesting, you know, and I think with anything, it all boils down to communication. It boils down to misconceptions of what one hears from one person to another. You know, going back to, you know, my time at, you know, my first job, KC Corps, and actually at Cerner as well, we were able to see medical students. So they would come in and shadow us. Yep. So it was a way for me to expose them to this alternate, what they call the complementary and alternate form of medicine. And it's, I think the more exposure these professions, other professions have, you know, to chiropractic care, I think the more you'll start to see it continue to grow, and not be, you know, thought as a pariah, if you would.
Okay. So then you've mentioned some of the different types of techniques that you use, like dry needling, active release technique, and that kind of stuff. As far as professional development, is there any specific amount of hours you guys need to have per year, or how does that kind of lay out?
Yeah, so it's depending on, from a national perspective, no, but it's depending on state to state. So each state requires different set of hours. I'm licensed because I live in Kansas City or am from this area. I would say the majority of chiropractors in this community are dual licensed in Kansas and Missouri, just because the city, you know, straddles the state line. Kansas requirements for continuing ed hours are 50 hours per year, I believe. Missouri's are 24 per year, or I think 50 for 2 years. So it's depending upon your state and what it requires. Now, in regards to those continuing ed hours, there's a subset of categories that they want you to typically hit, and that is usually some level of chiropractic technique, ethics, so chiropractic ethics, The hot one right now is learning more about opioids. So getting more education on the opioid epidemic. You know, if you're coming to your chiropractor as a drug seeker, you're barking up the wrong tree. So, but I think it's from our perspective, it's learning how to spot those individuals that may spiral into that category. But anyways, let me think here. If you've got some subspecialties, so like I mentioned, I do dry needling. Again, certain states require, the requirements for performing as such are different. So in Missouri, as a chiropractor, you have to do any form of needling. So needling would include a dry needling or acupuncture, meridian therapy, acupressure, all of that stuff is lumped under that umbrella. So for you to be able to perform that in the state of Missouri, you have to do 100 hours of postgraduate training in acupuncture. You have to sit and take a national board exam in acupuncture, meridian therapy, acupressure, and pass all of those to be able to do any form of needling in the state of Missouri. In the state of Kansas, however, it's considered within your scope of practice, meaning that you can take a weekend seminar in any form of needling, whether you're a chiropractor or a physical therapist, and you can do needling on Monday morning, you know, the next day. So if you actually look at, you know, a map of practitioners, whether that be physical therapy or chiropractic in Kansas, there are more of them who do needling and advertise needling than there are in Missouri.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that makes a lot of sense by just being able to go to that weekend class and start up the next day versus having to take that board exam. Some of the other types of professional development, I've looked on your profile, functional range system and functional movement system, kinesio taping, and some stuff from the Postural Restoration Institute. How do you kind of pick and choose which ones that you specifically want to look at for yourself?
Yeah. So for me, I was really interested in the movement space. And what I mean by that is, you know, evaluating movement, evaluating human movement. And so that kind of sparked my interest early in my career as far as, you know, what I looked at is, you know, with the continuing education, you know, some of that stuff doesn't fit within the criterion that's considered that you have to take, you know, for your state. But it was something for me that I wanted to learn because I think it would help me more in practice as far as like giving me more tools to help different types of people. And so I've kind of navigated kind of towards that. As far as like where I'm at now, I don't know. I think it's going to turn into like see what happens and evolves with me over this next year as far as like where my mind and what I'm going to be attracted to. You know, I think I'll probably look at things that I feel like I'm weak in as far as my, you know, evaluation and my diagnostic skills. I'll probably get drawn towards that. But I honestly don't like I feel like I've maximized what I want to learn in the movement space. Like I'm sure there's more stuff and I can get into the weeds about it, but I just don't feel like I need to learn more of that. I feel like I've got a pretty good basket of those things.
I'm going to guess. So with opening your new practice, other than that, professionally, what are you most proud of achieving so far?
Oh man. I think for me, it was taking my acupuncture board. And why I did that, or why I say that is, you know, obviously you have to take your board exams when you graduate or right when you graduate school. And, you know, at that point in time in my life, I obviously just finished school. So I'm in that kind of study mode. When I decided to get into the dry needling and become certified in it, You know, I had been out for a while. I had two kids. I'm married, you know, so my life was different. And having to dedicate, you know, time in addition to work at home was super, super challenging for me. Just because I'm taking time away from my family. And right. So it's like, you know, is this, am I going to reap the benefits of this sacrifice at this point in time? And I mean, I'm not saying that I like obsessed over it where I completely avoided my family. That's not the case at all. But it was, you know, the fact that I set out to do that, it was challenging. It was tough. I did it. I passed. I actually did better than I expected to do. Or expected that I would do. And so, you know, I would say that.
Yeah, I think being able to have that time management skill as a professional in a full-time
absolutely
is a big thing. And I mean, by being able to do that, I think that helps also with starting your new career and opening a business as well.
Oh, most definitely.
So with your new business, where do you kind of see yourself professionally in, let's say, 10 years from now?
Well, I hope that in 10 years from now, I have a very successful practice that is fulfilling to not only myself, but my partner and all the patients that we see, but also doesn't take away from my personal well-being. I have worked early on in practice and saw a boatload of patients. And I'm at a stage in time in my life where I don't feel like I need that, nor do I want that. And so I guess for me, you know, what I successful practice would be, my bucket is full as far as the amount of patients that I see, but it's also fiscally beneficial for me to, you know, live.
Absolutely. Looking back at your career and education, I guess, is there anything you wish you could change or maybe something you would go back and do a little bit differently along that path?
Yeah. So when I was reviewing those things, the questionnaire that you sent me, I thought about like filling it out and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to like answer these organically and just kind of like whatever comes to mind, comes to mind. But that was one thing that I actually sat and thought about. And I think one of the biggest things that I wish I would have done differently from a chiropractic perspective was explore and meet more chiros. And why I say that is, you know, I talked about the autonomy and being able to do whatever you want. There's a lot of different styles of practice out there. And I really wish that I would have looked into that more younger when I was in school to see, you know, from a business side, what that was like, professionally, you know, what that was like, you know, what it, you know, what each, you know, practice, you know, style was and how it worked and how it benefited their patients. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, if I'm going to tell a chiro student who's either early, mid, or late in their chiro career is get out and try to shadow as many docs as you can just to see and experience the different, you know, styles of practice, to maybe glean some business ideas or how they, you know, kind of own and operate, you know, their practice. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. And that kind of tails into our next part of our questions is as far as looking at students that are in four different time frames of their life. Let's look at a junior or senior in high school. Maybe they've been to a chiropractor, known a chiropractor, something like that. And they're interested in becoming a chiropractor. What advice would you have for them as a high school student?
I would say, you know, if they've seen chiro, I would give the same answer. I would say, see if you can shadow, you know, different chiros. I tell you, if I ever had a high school student that would come to me and tell me that they wanted to be a chiro and ask me if they could shadow me, I would 100% say yes. Like, at that young of an age to like want to see what it's like in a professional setting. Like, I look, and probably I say this now because I look at myself when I was that age, and that was not at the top of my list of things to do. I was, where's the sports? Where can I play sports? Where's the party at? You know, I'm enjoying life at that stage of my life. And, you know, so, you know, from a high schooler's perspective, like, get out and see, you know, what it's like to be in that chiro, but not just there. Physical therapy, look at a physical therapist, visit physical therapist's office. You know, why should I choose chiro as opposed to, you know, physical therapy? What, you know, where, what's better, what's worse?
And then let's kind of look at the sports marketing background side of stuff. Somebody that's interested in sports and being active and wanting to maybe do the business side of things, but also has that passion for healthcare and wanting to help people get better along their health journey. A college undergraduate that is interested in applying to, let's say, Cleveland. What advice would you have for them as that, you know, 20, 21 year old?
Look at different chiropractic schools. If that is something that you are passionate about or want to explore, unlike myself, don't hyper focus on one specific school, because each school's school of thought, not to use this word school too many times, they're different focuses. Cleveland, their curriculum is a little different than Logan across the state of Missouri. Parker down in Dallas, Texas, Palmer in Iowa, and their other branches. Each school's got a different set of curriculum and a different offering as far as, like, in addition to chiropractic, what else, you know, what other training can they offer you? I would say, you know, look, explore that aspect as well.
And then let's look at a student, maybe they're in their last trimester, you know, they're doing their clinical rotations, they're seeing their patients that come into Cleveland. They're getting ready to graduate. What advice do you have for that student as far as, you know, looking what they should be doing as far as starting their career?
I think at that stage is figuring out what avenue they want to do as far as, do they want to open up their own practice? Do they want to be an associate with somebody? Do they want to do what's called a postceptorship, which is kind of like you're an associate, but you're not really working for the doctor. You're just more of a, kind of like a residency. That's one, honestly, I think that's one thing that I wish the chiropractic profession had, was a residency program, you know, whether it be in private practices or offices that are in hospitals. Chiropractors are now in the VA hospital. So, you know, seeing how those different niches or style of chiropractic profession, you know, kind of operates, and where you want to, you know, where you want to explore there. I mean, I think last trimester, you need to kind of be starting to figure out where you want to go in that, you know, kind of in that regard. So the more people you see, the easier it is for, you know, for you to make that decision.
Getting an end of school announcement, so we're just gonna have to pause for a second and I'll cut this.
That's all good, man. What time does school get out for you guys?
We're done now for the day. We get done at 2:20.
What time do you start?
We start at 7:20.
Oh my goodness. Lee Summit, my kids get out at, I think, 2:45, and I think they start at like 8:00.
Yeah, it's really nice, especially on Fridays, to have seventh hour plan. I'm done at 1:20 with kids. So I'm like checking out.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So now let's look at some advice. You know, somebody that's a new chiropractor, they're in their first job, they have that career, they've started, maybe they're 3 or 6 months into their 3 or 6 months into their career. What advice would you have for them as far as things to continue learning or things they should be looking for as far as, you know, the beginning journey of their career?
I think don't feel like you have to be everything to everyone. Don't feel like you have to have all the answers to your patients, because I think there's a lot of things that come with experience. I mean, it's like that in any healthcare profession. Like, the longer you've been in practice, the more experience you obviously have. And so knowing where your line is of what you know and what you don't know, but also being humble enough to communicate that to your patients. I think being honest to your patients will go a long way in the end. And you may not have all the answers, but you're willing to look up those answers, or you're willing to communicate, connect with people who may have those answers. And I think it's hard when you're first in practice and you have this patient, you do not want to give that patient up because it's a source of revenue for you. But I think they will trust you more if you're willing to accept the fact that you may not know how to help them, and you can get them to somebody who may. I think that'll go a long way with people, and they'll trust you more in that regard rather than you faking it and, you know, them just stop showing up because you never really benefited them at all.
Them having that bad experience and telling them, yeah, their friends or family about their, yep, horrible experience with chiropractic. We've got a couple more questions here for you. As far as a book or recommendation that you would have for a high school or college student, maybe not necessarily specifically about chiropractic, but something in the health science realm that you'd think would be good for somebody that's interested in chiropractic?
I think there's a book called Movement by a guy named Gray Cook. He's a physical therapist, but he's done a lot within the kind of the movement space as far as evaluating, treating. Super interesting read. Another book that's not necessarily like chiropractic or healthcare related is a book called Grit by, I think it's Angela Duckworth. I want to say her name. That's probably not right, because I think Angela Duckworth is a senator, actually, now that I think about it. But the book is called Grit. It is a great, just life-focused life, like how to get more out of life, how to overcome failure, just book. Like, I think you can utilize stuff gathered from that book in every aspect of life.
I like that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you should. It's a good one.
I feel like there's another person that has mentioned that book to me before too. If you dislike blank, then being a chiropractor is not for you. So this is a two-part question. If you dislike and if you like, and so we'll go with, if you dislike blank, then being a chiropractor is not for you.
I would say if you dislike touching people or being in other people's personal space, it is not, you're not going to enjoy that at all.
Yeah. Just being, like you said earlier at the beginning, you know, it's a hands-on manipulation of the body and the muscle skeletal system. So taking that answer away, if you like blank, then being a chiropractor is the right career path for you.
If you like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this is a healthcare in general answer. If you like helping people, you know, I think if you want to, you know, assist, be of service, you know, whatever that is, like, you will like chiropractic care. I mean, That's kind of like not answering your question, but answering your question.
Yeah. No, helping people and getting them back in movement and,
yeah,
you know, being able to live their life as they want to before they had their injury or, you know, the reason why they're in there. I think that's a great answer. Yeah. As far as a quote that you kind of live your life by, whether that's personal, family, or maybe business chiropractic related. How does that kind of fit into your life?
I would say the quote that stands out to me is, what is it? The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think for me personally, like, that's kind of a mantra that I would like to live my life by, is I try to treat people with respect like I would like to be treated. I try to, from a, you know, a practitioner, from a provider perspective, I try to, you know, communicate with my patients to be on their level as much as I can, because it's a two-way street with me. Like, you know, yes, I have the education. Yes, you're coming to me because I have a specific skill set, but I'm no different than you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. And just because I have, you know, fancy letters after my name doesn't mean that I'm more superior to you or than you. You know, so it's like, I'm human just like everyone else is. So, you know, treat everybody with the same respect.
I love that. That fits in really good, I think, with being in that healthcare realm of treating your patient with respect and having them come into you like that as well. If someone's interested in talking to you more about chiropractic or finding more out about your business, how can they reach out to you as far as social media, Facebook, anything like that?
Email is probably the best way to get a hold of me. drjbullimore@alignforlife.com is my email address. I'm not on social media. I don't dabble into that. We have a business social media presence, but like, I don't necessarily look at that. Email is probably the best way to get a hold of me.
They can find that on your website as
So alignforlife.com. If you go scroll down to the bottom of the website, my email should be there. If you really, I mean, nobody talks on the phone anymore, but if you really want to call the clinic, I've got an extension. So our phone number is at the top of our website.
Perfect.
Just call that phone number. And then I think my extension is extension number 1. You can leave me a voicemail if you want to talk on the phone, but honestly, email is the easiest.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. I've loved learning more about your practice and sharing your experiences with us today.
Right on, man. Thank you.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.